You know, when you see a cross, how can you not think of Christ? When you see a symbol, how can you not think of eternity? When you see a triangle, how can you not think of the Holy Trinity?
Edward Riojas, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Each of these things, they just underscore not just scripture, also the events of Christ's life, what we believe.
Learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
When Jesus gathers with his disciples in Matthew 16 in Caesarea Philippi, no one knows who he is. No one at all knows who he is. He asks the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they have a lot of answers, but none of them are right. And then, by divine revelation, Peter understands. He confesses Christ. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on Peter's confession of Christ in Matthew 16. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome.
Thank you.
Peter made his confession in a place called Caesarea Philippi. Why is that important?
Because that was in an area where there were Gentiles also. In other words, this was an area that when Jesus makes his confession that he's going to Jerusalem to die, but also be raised from the dead, that was a promise both to Jews and Gentiles. So this is where this one takes place.
Why did Jesus call himself the Son of Man?
That is one of his favorite titles. It actually comes from the Old Testament. It's in Daniel when the Ancient of Days sends Jesus, referred to as the Son of Man, to the world to redeem the world. That means to save the world from their sins, to pay for their sins, to be the sacrifice on the cross in their place. And that was one of Jesus' favorite names for himself, the Son of Man, because it also shows that he was incarnate, which meant that he had become a human being at the birth of Mary.
Why did some of the people think that Jesus was John the Baptist?
Well, John the Baptist had been quite recent, and they really believed him to be a prophet. So when Jesus asked the disciples, they would name John the Baptist as the first, because that was what most of the people thought he might be. John the Baptist. Even Herod thought that John had been raised from the dead and was Jesus. Whereas others said Elijah because of the Old Testament comments that Elijah would return with the Messiah. And then others talked about Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
What made them think that he was either the prophet Elijah or Jeremiah?
Well, Elijah had talked quite a bit, and Jeremiah, about the Messiah. You find in Elijah particularly a lot about the coming of Jesus and the fact that John the Baptizer would be returning. And so, of course, Jesus implied that John the Baptizer was a fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament prophets concerning him. And Elijah was one who was very much dressed like and lived like John the Baptizer.
How should we understand Peter's answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God"?
He understood Jesus to be the Christ, but not God himself. At this time, he still was not understanding that Jesus was God. But the word Christ is actually the Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah. And the word Messiah was used throughout the Old Testament to promise the people that he would come to redeem them, and he would be the Son of the living God, as is found out in Daniel, for example, and other passages of the Bible, that he would be related to God. But that he was God was not something that was in Peter's mind at that time.
How did Jesus then respond to Peter's confession?
He reminds Peter that he is blessed because that confession was not his own, but he had been revealed it by the Father who is in heaven. Now we know that Peter, as an apostle, did write scripture and was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it's not unusual to find that Peter had been inspired to the point to make a proper confession of Jesus, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And therefore, it's not flesh and blood that revealed that to Peter. It didn't come from his own mind, but it came from the Father who is in heaven. And that's what Jesus tells Peter. And then he says, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, the word Peter, at least his new name, can mean rock. But in the Greek, the word Peter as rock is spelled differently than when Jesus says, "And on this rock I will build my church." He's not talking about Peter being the rock, but on this rock is referring back to the confession which Peter made that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And he says, that's the confession upon which I will build my church. In other words, those who believe Jesus to be the Son of God and died for our sins, the gates of hell shall not prevail against that kingdom.
What are the keys of the kingdom?
Yes. The Sunday school material, Enduring Faith, has the students take a look at keys that they might have in their pocket. And the teacher is to ask them, okay, what are these keys for? Well, there's two uses of keys. The one is to open a door, but the other is also to lock a door. So when Jesus talks about the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about that which opens heaven to people and also may close heaven to people. And he explains that by indicating to the disciples, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, in talking about their sins, if they will still be bound to them when they die, then they will not be going to heaven and heaven will be closed. But he says, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And what he's talking about there is that when the message of the kingdom, namely that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, is explained and people believe it, then their sins are loosed from them. They're actually put on Jesus when he is on the cross, and he pays the sacrifice for them. So that when these people die, they have received justification by grace through faith, and their works are no longer held against them. They no longer are considered to be sinners, and heaven becomes their home because they have been loosed from the sins and the curse of sin, which was, in the day that you sin, you shall surely die. So being loosed from those sins, heaven becomes their home.
Why did Jesus command his disciples to not tell anyone that he was the Christ?
Yes, this is a good example of why you can't use every Bible verse as a poster in your church, such as having a poster, "Don't tell anyone he was the Christ." The reason Jesus said this is that he was still on his way to Jerusalem, and the time had not yet come for him to die on the cross. But if the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who are mentioned earlier in the chapter, began to think that Jesus was telling everyone that he was the Christ, they might hurry up to have him sacrificed, as they did after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus wanted more time to preach his message so more would come to faith and be prepared when he rose from the dead after his crucifixion. This, therefore, was a stalling tactic on the part of Jesus to make sure that he had time to preach his message so that others would come to faith prior to his being crucified and risen from the dead.
After Jesus predicts his death, how did Peter react?
Well, Peter seems not to have heard the second part of the promise that in 3 days he would also rise from the dead. That's what Jesus says. Peter just seems to have heard that he was going to die in Jerusalem. And he takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." And later, of course, at the Last Supper, Peter says that he will never deny the Lord, which gives the impression that he would fight on behalf of the Lord, that he would not be crucified. But that was getting in the way of the mission upon which Jesus was sent by the Father. He was sent to be crucified. And so when Peter begins to rebuke Jesus and tells him that he will not die in Jerusalem, Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You have become a hindrance." Why? Because you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. In other words, Peter wasn't listening to God, who had said many times in the Old Testament that Jesus would suffer and die for the sins of the world, as Jesus himself explained. So Peter was not having proper faith in understanding the mission of Jesus and becoming a hindrance to what needed to happen. And that's why Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Not that Peter was Satan, but that he was being motivated by Satan to think like human beings think, rather than to listen to what God had to say in Holy Scripture.
So how do we as Christians then make the confession of Jesus as the Christ today?
We don't make it from our own mind. It is like Jesus says to Peter, the part that he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," had been revealed to him by the Father who is in heaven. And that happens to Christians in two ways. Number one, when we are baptized, God gives us the Holy Spirit, which gives us faith to believe these promises. And also when we hear the word of God, missionaries may not be baptizing everyone, but they are preaching the word of God from Galatians, Romans, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Genesis, throughout the whole Bible. That word of God can create faith. People believe the word of God and they are loosed from their sins. Their sins have been taken to the cross and paid for by Jesus. So neither our works can save us, nor anything we do. Our whole salvation is done by God in bringing us faith through the Holy Spirit and a life of righteousness.
Finally, what is the law and gospel of this lesson?
Yes, the law is that we often doubt God's identity as Jesus Christ being true God and Savior. Things happen to us. We experience, well, evil or hardness of heart or bad experiences, and we doubt that God is with us. That's what the law does. The gospel, though, through the Holy Spirit, reminds us that Christ is truly not only God, but our Savior, which we receive through baptism and also the Lord's Supper and the hearing of God's word, whether it's in church services, Sunday school, or at home with our parents. That is the way of salvation.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
Brenda Hefera of the Heritage Foundation joins us on the other side. We'll talk about the struggles of American boys and men.
You know, when you see a cross, how can you not think of Christ? When you see a symbol, how can you not think of eternity? When you see a triangle, how can you not think of the Holy Trinity?
Edward Riojas, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Each of these things, they just underscore not just scripture, also the events of Christ's life, what we believe.
Learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at issuesetc.org.
Hello, this is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
At Memoria Press, the Simply Classical curriculum is specifically designed for students with significant learning challenges. This complete program includes everything you need for a school, self-contained classroom, tutoring, or homeschool to make a classical Christian education accessible for any child. To learn more, visit us at simplyclassical.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Simply Classical, a beautiful education for any child.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Veiled Predictions. This is Ken Ham, author of popular books for kids such as Dinosaurs for Kids. God has promised that seasons will continue as long as Earth endures, so we don't need to panic about the environment. But what about the science of climate change? Well, the science isn't as settled as the media says. Consider this. Scientists have been creating climate models for decades so we can look back and see if those predictions came true. And well, they haven't. For example, in the 70s, scientists predicted a new ice age within 30 years. That's right. The concern was global cooling. Or consider that the Arctic was supposed to be ice-free by 6 years ago. Why the wrong predictions? Wow, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Discover more about science, the Bible, and a biblical worldview when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com. That's AnswersRadio.com.